Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you had a very good weekend. This is Monday, April 9th. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, the headquarters of American Free Press newspaper, and as I always say, the crime capital of the world. Folks, I'm exhausted. I'm having some work done in my apartment. My ceiling's getting ready to fall in. And you know, when your ceiling is getting ready to fall in, that means you have to move all your furniture and all your books and all your knickknacks and make room for the people that come in and do the work. And I want to tell you something. All I can say is thank God that is the worst thing that's happening to me, because there are a lot of people out there, good people, who are suffering real problems. Not to mention, of course, our men and women in the service, who not only get butchered in Iraq, but when they come back, they get butchered in the veterans' hospitals. What a tragedy. Folks, I have a lot of little news items to go through with you here tonight. It's going to be a hodgepodge of things. I will eventually get around to some phone calls, I imagine. But unless you want to hang on the line for a long, long time, I wouldn't suggest you call in right away. We had that nudnik, to use a Yiddish term. That should entertain that caller, Rick from Florida, who called in here the other night. Absolute lunatic. He's been harassing Mark Glenn and Rick Adams and I with vulgar emails and so forth. And of course, he says Rick Adams and I are Jews. Rick Adams and I have dimples. That proves we're Jews. And because I was baptized with a middle name, which happens to be the name of a Roman Catholic saint, Bernard, that's proof that I'm Jewish. But anyway, that guy was a real, well, I won't say what he was on the air, folks, because, you know, I gave him the time to rant and rave. And, you know, I sometimes make a mistake doing that. I've done that several times over the past year, giving too much time to people who are full of a lot of crap. But, you know, I like to let people show just how full of crap they are. But in any case, you know, there's so much of this in the world today. News items, serious news items. New York Times Magazine, article by Noah Feldman. He's a law professor at New York University and an adjunct senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, the headline on his rather lengthy article, which I'm not going to read. Here's the headline. No matter who's elected in 2008, our troops will probably remain in Iraq. Well, you know, that really isn't any surprise, I don't think, to anyone who's listening to this program now. I don't think that's a surprise at all. I mean, this is the kind of thing we've suspected for a long time. We've suspected that there is a charade going on here in Capitol Hill between the Democrats and the Republicans, that there might be a few honest Democrats and a few honest Republicans who really want to get us the hell out of Iraq. But for the most part, the big boys and the big girls are playing a game. That's why eventually we're going to hang them. But be that as it may, we don't have the power to do that just yet. Well, Robert Novak, very interesting national columnist, born Jewish, convert to Roman Catholicism. No, he's not a crypto-Jew, ladies and gentlemen. I think he's a sincere Roman Catholic. He has been an outspoken critic of Israel over the years. He's brought out some very interesting things about USS Liberty. And he's been one of the people to point out that the Christians of Palestine are fed up with the Israelis. He quotes a Catholic member of the Bethlehem University faculty, saying, "We live the same life as Muslims. We are Palestinians. So don't believe all this crap about the Christians of Palestine and the Christians of the Middle East thinking that Israel is their good friend against the Muslims. Ain't true, folks." Thanks to Robert Novak for continually pointing that out. More items when we come back. I hope they'll interest you, because they do interest me.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here, coming to you from Washington. As I say, just a few little items I want to go through here because they just kind of all tie together. I pointed out to you the other day how David Broder, the hotshot mainstream columnist for the Washington Post, says just how dandy the Electoral College is and how important it is because it maintains the two-party system. We know hardly had I reported that to you than Paul Greenberg. He's a nationally syndicated columnist. He writes for the Washington Times. Of course, that's the conservative alternative to the liberal Washington Post. Paul Greenberg jumps in now. Save the Electoral College. Save the Electoral College. And, you know, one of the things he doesn't want to happen in presidential elections is having our elections determined by the Ralph Naders and Pat Buchanan. In other words, folks, any of the independent voices, now I know a lot of you out there don't like Pat for one reason or another. I know a lot of you out there don't like Ralph Nader for one reason or another. Let's not get into that issue. We're just talking about the fact that these guys, for better or for worse, for real or not, were theoretically alternative candidates for the presidency. But here again, we find the liberals and the conservatives, so-called, on both sides, coming together on the big issues that involve maintaining the powers that be in America. David Brooks, writing in the New York Times, David Brooks is one of these neocon Republicans. He is Jewish. He writes a very interesting column here. He just went to a gathering of Arab speakers in Jordan, trying to get together Americans and moderate Arab leaders. It was co-sponsored by the American Enterprise Institute. Well, Mr. Brooks rants and raves in his column that all these moderate Arabs had one thing to say. They were united in complaining about the power of the Israeli lobby in America, about the power of the Israeli lobby impacting upon the press, about the power of the Israeli lobby impacting upon the think tanks. And Mr. Brooks just doesn't understand this. This is what's amazing, folks. This is a guy who is part and parcel of the problem, and he doesn't understand how much he is a part and parcel of the problem, and he doesn't understand that everybody around the world recognizes the power of the Israeli lobby. And everybody of any consequence should say something about it. There are those who are saying things about it, and thank God they are. But again, you know, poor David Brooks, he seems very naive here, folks. What can I tell you? Just a comment. You know, I think he needs to wake up. Well, Rosie O'Donnell is catching hell for her comments on 911. Maybe she's not going as far as she could go, but I mean, the fact that somebody like Rosie O'Donnell, for better or for worse, is at least saying something, raising questions about our Iran policy, raising questions about the Bush administration. Folks, I guarantee you, you know, I've been doing this crap for 25 years, and no matter how many copies of my books have been sold, no matter how many people listen to me on this radio program or any other program, or I'm sorry to say, even Mr. Patriot Radio himself, Alex Jones, I'm telling you, when Rosie O'Donnell speaks, people listen. For better or for worse, folks, this woman has an impact. And the good thing about Rosie O'Donnell is she's saying something that's a little different from what's being heard elsewhere. So good for Rosie O'Donnell. Good for Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, you know, how can you criticize Rosie O'Donnell? I mean, afterwards, she is about as politically correct as you can get. Good God. Well, I think I may have mentioned this before, but it's well worth mentioning it again. If you go to the Washington Post website for April 1st, I think it's WashingtonPost.com. Well, there is only one Washington Post here in Washington. Very interesting article entitled The Once and Future Republic of Vermont. Two authors of the article, one of them's a political science professor at the University of Vermont. They have an article about the possibility of Vermont seceding from the Union. Well, ain't that interesting, folks? You know, Vermont's a very funny state. You know, it's kind of traditionally liberal, and yet at the same time, it's traditionally conservative. And, you know, these guys really sound rather libertarian. But, you know, they've written a very interesting article there that I think should get some widespread examination and distribution. So check it out. The Washington Post on April 1st, entitled The Once and Future Republic of Vermont. I'll bet you if you did a search, quote-unquote, Republic of Vermont on Google, you would find it. Well, here's a funny story from the Sunday magazine of the Washington Post, again. Now, I don't know that much about classical music, folks, but I like classical music. I like actually all kinds of music when it comes right down to it, one form or another. Anyway, there's a very famous violinist named Joshua Bell. And I've heard him play on the radio. They say, here's Joshua Bell. He's really good. Well, yeah, he is good. I guess he's good. He sounds good to me. Anyway, this is a guy who people pay big bucks to go for at the Kennedy Center and big opera houses all around the world. Well, you know what Mr. Bell did recently? He went down to a subway stop here in Washington with a very famous and very valuable violin, a multi-million-dollar Stradivarius, and he put the violin case down and started playing the violin for an hour, and hardly anybody stopped to see him. Oh, a few people did. They didn't recognize him. They said, oh, this guy's good. Oh, this is interesting. The point about this is, folks, I don't know, I didn't read the whole article, but I just think the article is interesting because of the fact that it just goes to show how people can be guided by the mass media in America. If they tell you something's good, then all of a sudden everybody thinks it's good. It's fashionable. Now, this is not to degrade Mr. Bell's talents at all. I think he found it just as interesting as the author of the article did. But again, it just does go to show you how people can be led around by the nose. Now, this is a guy, world-famous violinist. And I'm sure many of those people that walked right by him are people who, if they read an article about him in the Washington Post or the New York Times, they would run out and buy tickets to see Joshua Bell because they're told that's the thing to do. Kind of like a few years ago, folks, you know, I started smoking cigars a long, long time ago when they were very unfashionable. Yeah, I could walk around Capitol Hill here and people would spit in front of me, and I'm only slightly exaggerating. Fancy, well-dressed people in their look-alike suits would sneer at me, stare at me, and say, oh, that cigar stinks. But you know what? When all of a sudden there was a big cigar boom and the big cigar company started doing heavy-duty advertising, within just a few weeks, maybe a month or two, there were people running all over Capitol Hill, tripping over themselves to buy cigars. Suddenly, cigars were fashionable. I think that's interesting. It really just does say so much about how people can be led on by the media. And of course, you know, unfortunately, it's true enough too that even in what we call the patriot movement, there will be people who pop up every so often, you know, with some grandiose story or some grandiose scheme which is totally illegal or totally unethical or totally unworkable, and yet because it sounds good, people focus on it and they follow the leader, sometimes right over the cliff. I'm not picking on anybody in particular here. Don't read anything into that. I'm just stating that as a fact. I've seen it happen time and time again. I remember in the old days, a Spotlight newspaper, and even today, American Free Press will get letters saying, why aren't you reporting on such and such? A couple times I've spoken to people on the phone or written them letters and said, well, because such and such is a bunch of you-know-what. Well, the people are upset by that because they've heard other people talking about it, and they think that, well, you're covering it up, or you're unpatriotic, or, you know, you're working for the New World Order. No, folks, sometimes this stuff just ain't true. And, you know, it's hard to bring that news and information to people, but, you know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, I've always tried to document to the best extent I can, the things that I write about. I actually try to rely on the mainstream media in my writing and try to show where things in the mainstream media have been published or broadcast, and even if only once, and show where they fit into the bigger picture. Now, speaking of the bigger picture, one of the big things going on right now that you need to know about are the hate bills before Congress. And when I come back from the break, which was coming up here very shortly, I have some information from Reverend Ted Pike. So I want you to get your pen and paper handy, and I'm going to give you some information you're going to need so that you can lobby against the hate bills. And then I'm going to tell you a story later about really just absolutely how stupid white liberals really are. Boy, oh boy. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you get the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. Promise to give you some very important information about these hate crimes bills. They're just popping up like, what's the old saying? They're popping up like mushrooms after a rainstorm. Reverend Ted Pike's website, truthtellers.org, is the primary reference source if you want to keep it touch with what's going on with these hate crimes bills. We had Ted on the show a couple months ago. We're going to have to get him back here. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you the information that Ted would give you if he were here with us tonight. There are three bills relating to hate crimes or anti-hate bills that are now before Congress. And I'm going to give you the numbers of those bills. So get your pen and paper handy, folks. Get it out right now. The numbers are H.R. 1592. That's the letter H as in hell, the letter R as in razor, H period R period 1592. Okay? The other bill is H.R. H period R period 984. H period R period 984. And the other number, a third bill, is H period R period 808. are each prefaced with H period R period. The first one is 1592, 1592. The second one is 984, and the third one is 808. That's 1592, 984, and 808. Well, Ted Pike says it's important to focus on all these bills, and you know, you can call Congress. The congressional switchboard number is 202-224-3121. 224-3121. I do believe there is also an 800 number, but I don't happen to have that handy. But, you know, to make a long-distance call to Washington, D.C., for an important issue like this, only a couple dollars at the most, folks. But I'll tell you what, my producer has that 800 number for me, so get your pen and paper handy again, and I'm going to read it off to you. It's an 800 number, 1-800-450-8293. 1-800-450-8293. Another toll-free number I'm going to give you. This is an 888 number. It's 1-888-355-3588. That's 355-3588. That's an 888 number. Thing is, folks, you need to make some phone calls to Capitol Hill and just tell them that you're opposed to those three measures. They're measures that interfere with freedom of speech. And tell them, tell your congressman that you don't want those bills passed. They should be thrown out because they should be thrown out. Precisely that. So do us all a favor and use your influence. You know, the old Liberty Lobby used to say, your influence counts, use it. Well, you know, we don't always get what we want, but, you know, every little bit helps, and that's why it is important to make those phone calls and flood Congress with your words. You know, let them know that people out there know what the hell is going on Capitol Hill. You know, because that's the one thing they rely upon. They rely upon people's ignorance. They don't want people to know what's going on. So that's why I think you should do just what I said. You call Congress and tell them that you oppose that legislation. All right, folks, you know, we are going to be going to a break here in a minute or two. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you a very interesting story from my perspective, and I think you'll find it interesting as well, because it just goes to show you that, you know, people, you know, we're all alike, but we're very different. And oftentimes, the people who you least expect, thanks to the propaganda of the media, the people who you least expect to take the law and order positions or to take the positions that the average patriot would take are some of the last people you would expect or the least likely people. So anyway, as I say, when I come back from the break, I'm going to talk about that. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and invite you out there, those of you who want to call in, to call in here. The number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And I do want to emphasize that Rick from Florida is not welcome to call in here because he had his 15 minutes of fame. I'm going to start cracking down on nudniks like that. That's what St. Bernard here has to say. St. Bernard is not going to put up with nudniks anymore. St. Bernard is not going to put up with fools. I'm going to start chewing them up and spitting them out. I'm not going to play Mr. Nice Guy anymore. I heard a radio broadcaster say the other day, he said, I like not liking everybody. It makes me feel better. Well, I'm a nice guy, and I like most people, but I don't like Rick from Florida. He's the kind of guy that causes trouble at the American Legion Hall. There's one of those guys in every neighborhood in America, folks. All right. When we come back, very interesting story about race and crime.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. Folks, I want to tell you a story, a true story, kind of a combination of stories, but it just says a lot about a lot of things. You know, I live here in Capitol Hill, and it's a relatively safe neighborhood compared to the stories you often hear. We do have crime. It's usually drug dealers killing other drug dealers. Occasionally, we'll have some purse snatchers and things like that, but you know, I know a lot of the people here in Capitol Hill, not the fancy people, the real people, the regular people, and they kind of keep me posted as to what's going on. Well, in any case, we have some lunatic running around the general area, not on the main streets thus far. He stabbed a couple people with a screwdriver. He's evidently nuts. Doesn't seem to be any pattern thus far. I don't know the races of the... There's only been two victims that I'm aware of, thank God. They both survived. One was a man, one was a woman. Nobody seems to know the race of the victims. The victimizer, the lunatic, he apparently tends to talk to himself. approaches from behind, he is black. So that's just the basic of the crimes that have been committed. Well, you know, this afternoon, or over the last couple of days, I mentioned only half facetiously to a number of people, and I say only half facetiously, that I would like to put up a $100 reward for either the capture or the murder, that is, wanted dead or alive, of the person who's running around terrorizing the neighborhood, because needless to say, people are terrorized. People don't like the idea of getting stabbed with a screwdriver. You know, I could understand if someone wants to take my wallet. I can understand why someone would want to remove my wallet from me, and I can understand why they might approach me and say, "Give me your wallet," and then I would probably hand them my wallet, and they would go away with my wallet, and I would count that they wouldn't stab me. But when you have a crazy person who obviously is running around for whatever reasons and stabbing people, it's a great concern. So I've mentioned to a number of people, well, I'm putting up a $100 reward, bring them back dead or alive. And, you know, as I say, if that actually happens, I will live up to my reward offer. But needless to say, a number of people have agreed with it. Just this afternoon, I'm walking with a friend of mine down Pennsylvania Avenue, happens to be a black gentleman, and we run into an acquaintance of his. It's a 60-year-old black woman who, by day, takes care of little children. So she's walking down the street with a raft of little children, and we get talking about the stabber. And I said to her, I said, well, I said, you know, I said, I put up a $100 reward for whoever kills the guy or brings him in. And she said, you know, I think that's a great idea. And then she goes on to mention, and there's several other black women with her walking, working with her, and they all agree, yes, that's a good idea. And some of the children say, yes, this is a good idea. Okay, the point is this. They understand crime, because crime is very, very rampant in the black community, and the black community are the people who suffer the most from crime here in D.C. A lot of it, of course, is black-on-black crime. But needless to say this, and it turns out this nice black lady teaches, of course, she's a black belt in karate, and she teaches a self-defense course at a church. She's teaching people self-defense to fight off the criminals, the rapists, the muggers, the guys coming up to you with the screwdriver. And so we had a nice conversation and moved on, and I turned to my black friend and I said to him, I said, you know, I said, it always amazes me. I said, black people understand the reality of crime more so than these, well, I use the term GD. I don't want to say that on the air, but that's what I said, these GD, white liberals. I said, and he nodded his head. He nodded his head. I said, yeah, look at this. I said, here's a 60-year-old black woman. I said, she agrees with what I said. Okay, fast forward, folks, to about an hour and a half ago. I was in a local grocery store here and talking to several of the clerks who I know rather well, and we got talking about the stabber. And there was this nice young white woman there. Looked like a nice Capitol Hill worker, nice Republican girl, probably, maybe a nice Democrat girl, who knows. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, I said, I'd put up a $100 reward to have this guy either killed or brought in alive, but I said, something's got to be done because I don't like a stabber running around the neighborhood. Well, this nice little liberal-looking young lady, pale-faced little thing, too, she needs some sun. She says, well, that's very offensive. And I said, oh, I said, do you want to be stabbed? I said, do you want the stabber to get you, darling? She said, well, that's very offensive. And she walked out of the store showing her most self-righteous face, her most self-righteous strut. She just thought that was really terrible that somebody thought somebody should do something about someone who is committing really horrible crimes, horrible, senseless crimes here on Capitol Hill. I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing worse than a white liberal. There's absolutely nothing worse than a white liberal. They are a work of art. And, you know, it's very interesting. You know, they just had a lawsuit here in the district to try to get the gun ban thrown out. One of the women who signed on trying to get the gun ban thrown out was a black woman who's been active in the community. You know why? She finally realized it was important to have guns because after she had some problems, a police officer said to her privately, get a gun. In other words, the police officers realized too, folks, that, you know, law-abiding people need guns and that sometimes you have to take serious action to crack down on crime. But the white liberals don't want to do that. Oh, I'm sure there's some black liberals that don't want to do it either. But, you know, the average black person, you know, the people who really in the big city like this who do suffer, they understand what it's all about. And yet these white liberals who strut back and forth to their offices on Capitol Hill and eat in the fancy restaurants and drive the fancy cars, and yet these are the kind of people who would never even have blacks in their home, and yet they proclaim themselves, you know, the advocates of civil rights and everything. You know, they just think it's horrible when people say enough is enough and you have to take action to stop crime. Well, that's my lecture on that topic, folks. What can I say? Let's go to the calls. We have Jim in Texas. Jim, come on up.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. Hey, I've heard you called about everything in the book, anti-Semitic, anti-this, anti-that, but I never thought I'd hear you called anti-Stanley screwdriver. This is the worst thing you could possibly be called, because look at all the good the screwdrivers do in the world. You can't screw a screw in a wall without a screwdriver. But here you are, your anti-screwdriver. I mean, you've sunk to a new low, Mike. I'm sorry.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. I did used to drink screwdrivers, but I realized there was too many carbohydrates in orange juice. So I just switched to plain old vodka. So I guess it's accurate to say that I am anti-screwdriver.
Well, I am too, in effect, because I used to drink screwdrivers for years and years, and I switched to tequila. But maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the anti-mestizo in me that caused that. I don't know. But I never thought I'd hear anybody called anti-screwdriver. But, hey, if the shoe fits, Mike, I'm sorry, but you should never, ever condemn a whole class of tools because of because of what one man is doing in Washington D.C. I mean, there's nothing wrong with screwdrivers. You shouldn't even have mentioned that the fellow used a screwdriver. You should have said he used a tool of sorts or something benign.
Well, you know the thing about screwdrivers is that they seem so benign, and you know when you think of someone running around committing crimes, you don't expect them to use a screwdriver. So I guess that's what has everybody so horrified. If it turned out he was using a switchblade, people would probably feel more comfortable.
But, Mike, if you remember Bernard Goetz in the subway in New York years ago, the punks that approached him had what? Sharpened screwdrivers. That's what they threatened him with when he started blasting away.
Interesting.
Well, it is. It's more than interesting. I think it's pertinent, so to speak, but that's what they had in their pockets, the ones that approached him and demanded money when he started blasting away. They had sharpened screwdrivers.
That's interesting. I recall that now that you mention it. Yeah, you know, but like,
if you go back and look it up, you'll find out that I'm right. They had screwdrivers.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Jim, but explain to me why that pasty-faced little white girl was so upset that I was suggesting that a violent criminal should be either killed or taken into custody.
Mike, you know this as well as I do. There is such a thing as people that are so brainwashed, so indoctrinated, that they will deny reality right to the point where this fellow with the screwdriver comes up and sticks it in her throat. They'll deny reality to the bitter end because it's the politically correct thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they will not change like the people when you try and explain to them on 9/11. Why did these three buildings fall, all owned by the prestidigitator Larry the Cape Silverstein? Only his buildings fell, nobody else's, and they'll give you a blank look and say, I refuse to think about it. That's the same response that you get no matter what you bring up, and you know that is, you've been writing this for 25 years.
Yeah, no, I know exactly. You know, it's that blank look that we're all familiar with, that glazed look in the eye.
Absolutely.
That you get from
you
the...
You can't make me. You cannot make me think. You cannot make me reason. You cannot make me explain. I'll give you that glazed look, and they'll stomp off with a haughty look on their face, so to speak, and that's the way they are.
Yeah,
and
you know, Jim, I have this friend who I always refer to as the big shot lawyer here on the program. I hadn't talked to him in a couple weeks, and I called him the other day, and I said, my audience is waiting to hear the answer to this question. I said, he kind of chuckled. I said, well, have you talked your son into joining the military yet? And he said, well, no, but he is interested in studying Arabic. In other words, the kid, shouldn't call him a kid because he's not a kid anymore. He's graduating from college. He has been brainwashed into this idea that he's going to study Arabic, and that's going to help him fight the terrorist threat. But, you know, I'm going to make a prediction here, and I hope I still have my radio show long enough from now to come back and tell you whether I was right or not. I predict that this kid is going to study Arabic, and he's going to start reading what the Arabs have to say about things, and he's going to start meeting Arab people and Muslim people and Christian Arabs, and all of a sudden, he's going to have an epiphany. He's going to realize that his Uncle Murray, as he calls me, has been right all along.
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath because it happens so seldom, but it's like the people talk about the American jihadist, that the American spokesman for the Al-Qaeda, and his real name is Adam Perlman. His father or grandfather is the head of the Anti-Defamation League in the Los Angeles area, and nobody says, wait a minute, something's wrong here, you know. Something doesn't jive. Nobody ever says that to, oh, okay, you know, this is...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, really? Oh, isn't that interesting? Exactly.
Yeah, nobody says that. Doesn't make any sense at all.
They don't quite get it. Jim, listen, I got to move on here. I got a raft of callers. Good talking to you, as always. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have Roger in Pennsylvania. Roger, come on up.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I want to finish with, by the way, that second and last toll-free number you gave out has been dead like a year now.
Okay.
And I even keep the old ones around, lined out, of course. But I'll put that out. Folks, grab the pencils. I have a raft of six of them here. Anyway, on the Electoral College thing, you've been banging the gong about that for some time now, and you know, it was quite something while Kerry was running to hear all the big media crack clamor to abolish the Electoral College, and of course it was all about shifting the voting power, and has been for a long time, into the urban centers where the liberal votes are more concentrated, and this Kerry should somehow have won the college but lost the popular vote. You'd notice that tune die for a while. Now, our founders, of course, were trying to balance the interests of the less populous states with that of the urban centers. That was part of their compromise, and a very good one, I think, and that is part of the very sound reasons they instituted it, lest the cities end up holding all the power, as they, in fact, do, even with that, you know, that's where the vote concentrations are. And just like the change to it is also to balance the interest of the more populous states against the lesser populous states. So there are good reasons for it.
I understand, of course, there are good reasons for it, but for maintaining the Electoral College. But on the other hand, I always find it very, very interesting.
Now, and also
that the people most vehement in advocating the maintenance of the Electoral College are people at the highest levels who have been able to maintain their power in this country precisely because of the Electoral College.
I'm tempted to say I should oppose it only because David Broder is for it, but that's not quite reason enough.
Well, no, I mean, I certainly understand your point, and you're absolutely right, but on the other hand, you know, when you start looking into it, we're in the situation we are today with our electoral system, if you accept the idea that the vote count is honest, because of the presidents that we've had elected, and then, of course, needless to say, the Congress as well. But
yeah, well,
anyway, no, I mean, this is an issue that there's always going to be debate upon. But as I say, I think sometimes you need to keep an eye on who is advocating what, and then you get a better handle on maybe what's really going on.
Well, I kind of want to get back to there before the close, and just like the change to the direct election of senators that is no longer appointed by and therefore basically controlled by the state legislature, serving at their pleasure, and which, while it may sound good on the surface, we ought to find that perhaps more than anything, it served to virtually kill the power of the states to limit the power of the federal government over against steamrolling over the states. So this was a very good reason why they were appointed by the state legislatures.
Oh, that's I couldn't agree with you more. You're absolutely right about that. It's it's one of these things you're going to find some room to debate on. All right, Roger, thanks for your call. When we come back, we're going to go to David from Massachusetts.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here wrapping up the hour. You know, years ago, somebody paid me a compliment. I took it as a compliment. They said I would have made a great villain on the old Batman TV series. And, you know, somebody else once told me that I reminded him of a big St. Bernard. So, you know, it occurs to me that if I ever play a villain on the Batman TV series, if they revive it or maybe cast me in a movie, that'll be my underworld name, St. Bernard. Well, our next caller is Dave from Massachusetts, an old friend of mine. Dave, come on up.
Well, hello, Michael. Good to talk to you again.
How you doing, Dave?
Well, okay. Now, concerning this issue, which has been brought up over the last several days, and, you know, with all high regards to the fine gentleman who called previously to me, I want to say this about the electoral vote. Number one, our greatest president, the most intelligent man that ever was president, and by far, Thomas Jefferson, opposed the Electoral College from the time it was started. And other great presidents like Jackson opposed the electoral vote. Jefferson said that the common man, the average voter, should be able to directly elect the president. And if I remember off the top of my head now about in the Constitutional Convention of 1787, I think there were two or three plans about electing the president. There was a New Jersey plan, which may be that the state legislatures were going to elect the president. And maybe the Virginia plan favored the Congress electing the president. And I think those are the two plans that I can think of.
You know, I think you're right, Dave. I had totally forgotten about that, but that sounds very close to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, those right off the top of my head without going back to any books and looking it up. And about that plan, there was this, you know, fierce argument in the Congress about it. And they finally come up with the idea to placate the people that they would elect the president indirectly by the voters, but these electors who would be selected by the state legislature would formally elect the president.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm.
And the idea was also very strong at that time, and I think what's-his-name said that in his book, The Making of the U.S. Constitution, Charles Beard.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The book he wrote back around 1914, he said that an underlying factor, and there's been other people who wrote history of the time have said this. I don't remember their names. I'm sorry to say to you. One of the big underlying factors of the Electoral College was to keep the common man away from electing the president. They didn't want that. Because if you remember, around 80% of the people at the time were illiterate.
Right, exactly.
So
big difference. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people who helped to write the Constitution, every one of them was educated and literate. So they looked upon this 80% as saying, what do they know? So I do favor electing the president by the direct election and getting rid of the electoral vote, because all four times in the country's history where the Electoral College became very important as a result of very close elections, in every case, the person who won had fewer votes than the person who lost. And also, too, I'd say in most cases, about every case, the person who won as a result of this Electoral College should not have won. It should have been the other guy.
Well, you know, it's really funny. In all this discussion, I have to say I had totally forgotten that George Bush lost the popular vote but won the Electoral College. There's the biggest argument I can think of for getting rid of the Electoral College.
Absolutely. You're totally correct.
I had totally forgotten about that, Dave. Anyway, thanks for your call. Very informative. Give us all something to think about. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is St. Bernard signing off. Bernie. Have a good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned to Rick Adams and tell him you like his dimple. Have a good evening, folks. It's true.